Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Realpolitik. I am your host, Firas Mahdad, and we have a lot to talk about today. I want to talk a little bit about, obviously, the war in the Middle East, what the Iranians are trying to do, how might that play out, how long will the war actually take. And then, if we have time, I want to talk a little bit about J.D. Vance's appearance on Joe Rogan, and to think through what the midterms mean in the context of the war and why Vance made this appearance. So let's start maybe with the war. Now, what is happening is, you know, as discussed last time, was that basically the Iranians didn't want to lose their control over the Strait of Hormuz, the waterway that connects the Persian Gulf to the Indian Ocean. They started attacking ships, knowing that the Americans would have to retaliate. The Americans retaliated. The war is back on. Now what the Iranians are doing is that they are going through the American bases in the region, and they've already caused enough damage in the Bahrain and Kuwait and the UAE and Qatar to make these bases not inoperable, but not available for the use by American aircraft. And the idea is that they will force the Americans to concentrate their forces further and further away from Iran. And by doing that, it reduces the number of sorties that the Americans can fly against the Iranians. At the same time, the Iranians are following another group of strategies. We've seen them attacking Kuwait's water and desalination plants repeatedly. Now, for most of the Gulf region, 90% of their water comes from these facilities. They take water from the sea. They are also power generation units. They desalinate that water and send it into houses and bottle it into drinking water and so on and so forth. And that's 90% of the water supply. So now what we're seeing the Iranians do is focusing on Kuwait, and they've attacked desalination plants three times there. One or two plants that were attacked, some of them were forced offline, or their capacity was reduced to the extent that the Kuwaiti government had to come out and say, you need to reduce your consumption of power between the hours of 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. These are the peak heat hours. They're also the main working hours in the country. So this is a pretty substantial hit. And it means that the ability of Kuwait to keep on generating both power and water has been reduced. And as with everything, nothing is permanently survivable. If you keep on hitting a target enough times, eventually it will stop working permanently. And these facilities were built over the Gulf, all over the Gulf, over a period of 50, 60 years. It takes a long time to build this kind of infrastructure, and it develops slowly. And once it's destroyed, it's difficult to rebuild it. And with power and desalination, the important part is that they are the prerequisite for any other kind of work in a region where temperatures might go up to 50 degrees Celsius, and in a region that is a desert and insanely short on water. So if you don't have functioning water desalination plants and power plants, you can't have air conditioning and you can't have water. And that means that until you restore these facilities, you can't fix the energy infrastructure. You can't fix the ports. You can't fix the airports, etc., etc. They are a prerequisite for everything else. And Kuwait is enormously vulnerable to Iran because of the distances involved. It's just a very short stretch from Iranian territories here to Kuwaiti territories. That makes it generally a lot more vulnerable. But the Iranians aren't necessarily firing just from here. They're firing from all over the region. And in this kind of airspace, if you fly these drones a couple of hundred kilometers low over the water, it's not going to be easy to detect them. And if you're Iran, you will rinse and repeat the same process, mainly targeting Kuwait and then probably Bahrain and or the UAE. And what that does is that it forces an exodus of the population. Because for all of these countries, 90% of the population isn't native. And for these expats, if they can't work, they'll have to leave. The lowest level of workers, the people who are coming from the Indian subcontinent mainly, these guys are kind of stuck. But for these economies to function, you have armies and armies of Western expats and Egyptians and Palestinians and Lebanese and Moroccans and Tunisians who are all there to earn a living. When you paralyze the economy through repeated military strikes, but also through in particular, strikes on power plants and on desalination plants, you essentially force these people out. And the ability of the economy to recover degrades accordingly. If you're getting paid, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 a month to live in the Gulf, you probably have a decent nest egg. And you don't want to risk your life. And you don't want to live without power, without air conditioning, without water. You cannot. You have to go. So what the Iranians are signaling here is that if the Americans keep on attacking them, they are going to make Kuwait uninhabitable. And after Kuwait, it'll be Bahrain, and then the UAE, and then maybe Qatar, and then maybe the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. So essentially, the states of the region collapse. They will no longer function as states if they don't have the two most basic things, power and water. And Kuwait is the particular focus for the Iranians because Kuwait is where the Americans have most of their land forces. And if you make the country uninhabitable, you force the Americans out, you collapse the government system, you cause all kinds of chaos there, and eventually it just gets annexed by the Iraqis after the Americans leave. I've seen some speculation on X saying that the Iranians are going to launch a ground operation against Kuwait. This is nonsense. They can't do this in a war. That's not what they're doing. What they are, in fact, doing is basically making the state of Kuwait unviable and therefore not worth protecting, so that eventually when the war ends, it falls in their lap. And they will do the same for the UAE, and they will do the same for Bahrain. And by doing that, and maybe Qatar at some point, even though their relationship with the Qataris is a bit better. And once they've done that, the strategic value of the region would have declined enormously because the oil wouldn't be available for extraction because of the living conditions. Now, oil companies, when they have free logistics and they're able to transport things into the middle of nowhere, they have more resilience than anybody else. But if transportation is disrupted because aircraft are being attacked, because airports are being hit, because trucks are being targeted, nobody can do anything in that environment. So the Iranian threat here, by targeting Kuwait and by hitting power and desalination Kuwait, is that, look, we can make this entire region, which is where the oil is, uninhabitable without having to destroy the oil infrastructure itself. And it forces a choice on the rulers of these countries. Do you want to have these prosperous economies where you bring in these expats, and when you bring them in, you make an insane amount of money off of them, even though you pay them very high wages? Or do you want to be broke and have your countries broken? And therefore, it intensifies the pressure on the Gulf states to pick a side. And we're already kind of seeing it work because the Qataris are again howling, trying to mediate some kind of ceasefire between the United States and Iran. It doesn't look like it's going anywhere yet. The Americans will have to back down for that to happen. And the Americans cannot leave the Strait of Hormuz in the hands of the Iranians, with the Iranians able to tax the countries of the region to use it, and basically making them admit that Iran is the actual guarantor of security in the Middle East. For the Americans, this has become a choice between a strategic defeat and humiliation, and just trying to endlessly continue the war. And because of pride, which is the devil's favorite sin, the Americans cannot simply say, we're going to leave the region to the Iranians. Because the message that that sends to people like the Ukrainians, to people like the Taiwanese, the Filipinos, the Baltic states, is that if the enemy makes this war expensive enough and damaging enough, we will have to go. So the Iranians are smashing the bases in the region, and they are escalating their attacks against infrastructure, and they're using Kuwait as an example. Kuwait has in total 8 water desalination plants. The numbers differ across countries, but the rate of dependency on these power and desalination plants does not differ. This is the Achilles heel of all of these countries. And now that the Iranians have started doing it to Kuwait, the message is, we will do it elsewhere. The other thing that's happening is that the Iranians are forcing the Americans back by targeting the bases in the region and by dismantling the radars that are in the region, which exist to protect the assets in each of these countries in the Gulf. But also they are part of a networked radar system that helps protect the Israelis. And what the Iranians are doing there is that they're just going through the various bases in the region and attacking them repeatedly. And the latest and most frequent target of attacks seems to be the Jordanians, with Jordan getting repeatedly hit by Iran because it has 4 or 5 bases that are being used by the United States in order to both defend Israel and conduct attacks against Iran. And the fact that Jordan is now the focus reflects a couple of things. It reflects the fact that the U.S. Air Force has had to move back from most territories in the region to Jordan and to Saudi Arabia. And it reflects the slow degradation of defense capabilities that are available to the United States to keep on protecting the Israelis. So the Iranians are doing 2 things with that. They are wearing down the United States, and they are signaling that the eventual target is going to be the Israelis. For now, the Iranians are not attacking Israel. And we can talk about that in the Q&A and discuss it in a little more detail. But not only are they attacking Jordan, they're also inflicting casualties there. And the Iranians, interestingly, released a statement thanking the Jordanians for sharing intelligence with them that led to the successful targeting of Americans. This is partly psychological warfare, but if you know anything about the Jordanians, their hatred for the, or there are elements in Jordan that deeply hate the Israelis and the Americans, and that are part of the Jordanian armed forces, and it wouldn't be too difficult to imagine them sending some messages here and there to friends that they have in Iraq to pass it on to the Iranians to say where exactly the American soldiers are. That's a possibility. The other possibility is that the Russians and the Chinese are helping the Iranians acquire information about the deployment of American forces, and then that's being used to target Jordan. So neither of these possibilities would surprise me. I'm not taking a position on either of them. I don't know. But you see the confirmation here from the New York Times that this is the strategy pursued by the Iranians, because they go over how Jordan, which hosts major U.S. air bases, grew in importance in the run-up and the early days of the war, as the Pentagon shifted a number of troops from Bahrain, the UAE, and Qatar to relatively more secure locations in Jordan and Israel. So what have the Iranians done? They've pushed the Americans out of the bases that are here, that are right across from Iran, and they forced them into Jordan and Israel, and into, I believe, bases in Saudi Arabia, near Mecca and near Jeddah. Why? Because there's a lot more distance between that territory and Iran, so it's easier to detect missiles, it's easier to interdict the missiles. It makes it harder for the Iranians to strike there. But what we're seeing from Jordan is that this isn't going very well. And pretty much every American base in Jordan in the last few days has been hit. Aqaba, in the very south of the country, facing Eilat, that's been hit. In Azraq, there's the Muwaffaq Salti Air Base, that's been hit. There is the King Faisal and Prince Hassan and King Hussein bases up and down the country. These have been repeatedly hit. And so they're wearing down the capability of the Americans to deploy there, intending to push them more and more into Israel. That seems to be the plan. And then it's basically the last remaining target would be Israel, and they would just hammer at the Israelis, knowing that the Israelis are low on air defenses and that the Americans are also running low on air defenses. This seems to be what the Iranians are trying to do here. And we see Al Jazeera mentioning the strikes on desalination plants. We see this kind of attack against military bases in Kuwait. This is the Saad al-Abdullah Academy. It's a training base mainly. You see them blowing up oil infrastructure in Bahrain. And again, the idea is to make especially Bahrain and Kuwait completely unviable as states. Why Bahrain and Kuwait? Well, because this is the eastern province of Saudi Arabia. All of the oil of Saudi Arabia is somewhere in this area, in this big area here. And if you make Kuwait and Bahrain non-viable, Bahrain is 70% Shia, they'll overthrow the government and they will align with the Iranians. And Kuwait is a stone's throw away from Iraq. If you make it dysfunctional, the Iraqis can one day take it over. Not during the war, because if the Iranians tried to concentrate forces along the border with Iraq in order to invade Kuwait, they would be massively vulnerable from the air. They'd get decimated. They don't have the air defense to do it. But if you push the Americans out of the region, which is what the Iranian objective is, the Iranians end up surrounding Saudi Arabia's eastern province on two directions. And with the Houthi in Yemen, the Saudis' position becomes damn near impossible. This is what the Iranians are aiming at here. And now it seems that the Iranians are saying that they're going to hit the UAE very badly. That makes a lot of sense because of the deep connections between the UAE and Israel. As we've covered in the past, the main Arab allies that the Israelis have are the UAE. The UAE believe that there is no conflict between them and a greater Israel. If Israel expands and the countries of the region, say Saudi Arabia, falls apart, then it's the UAE that believes that it can step in and basically move from its borders up towards Qatar and the Saudi eastern province. They believe that they could do that at some point in the future if the Saudis fall apart. And so they don't see a conflict between them and Israel. Their banking sectors are completely intertwined. The UAE helps the Israelis all over the region. So they're a reasonable target for the Iranians. And if they start hitting desalination in the UAE, again, the expats leave. And they're stuck with just some Indians and Palestinians and Lebanese who have nowhere else to go because their countries are equally screwed. And that becomes a disaster for the Emiratis and therefore for the Israelis. So you're seeing the Iranians apply this pressure on the region, and it can't work indefinitely. for the Americans, especially not with the kind of precise targeting that we're seeing them hit the Jordanians with. They've hit 5 transporters and maritime patrol vessels that have been moved from Bahrain. So the Americans move the assets from close to Iran into Jordan. They still get hit. They still get damaged. Aqaba, Hussein International Airport, again, it gets hit. And it is a real problem for the United States, because if they have to refuel over great distances and fly from Europe, for example, or Israel, or Jordan itself, that ends up wearing down their equipment and limiting the number of strikes that they can conduct against the Iranians. And they managed to hit American helicopters in the east of the country. That's a very high level of precision. What this is showing is that the Iranians can pick their targets in current time and attack them, meaning that moving these assets around the region doesn't really change very much, because once they are on the ground, the Iranians have the ability to collect that intelligence and attack. And the thing to remember is that Jordan only exists to protect Israel. The reason the British carved out this country, which never existed in the past, and never was a country in the past, was basically because they needed a very friendly country that was completely dependent on external aid to be a buffer between Israel and the rest of the Arab world. That's the job of Jordan. So, to reiterate, the parts of the Middle East that have traditionally built capable armies and capable forces, Turkey, Syria, and Iraq. The Arabs had one go, like the Arabs of Arabia had one go in the early Muslim invasions. The Egyptians do have a history, but they were neutralized in the 1979 treaty, and there was not much that the British could do to weaken Egypt other than separate Sudan from it and establish a country called Libya, another geopolitical joke. But Jordan is there mainly to stop an army from Syria going south and into the sheer length of Israel, or to stop an army from Iraq going west and heading towards Jerusalem. That's why Jordan exists. So with the Iranians now focusing their fire on Jordan and ensuring that Jordan can't fulfill its function as a defender of Israel, they make Jordan a lot less viable as a state, because it's a very poor police state that relies on an infinite amount of welfare from the West for it to keep functioning. Without that backing from the West, without the aid that goes to Jordan, in a few years' time, the country would be bankrupt. And once it's bankrupt, the people rise up against the king because they view him as a traitor. And then they join Syria or Iraq, and they become enemies of Israel. So that what the Iranians are aiming for with this missile strategy is really to change the geopolitics of the region and to take the states that have been most closely aligned with the West, because they have no choice but to align with the West, like Kuwait. If it wasn't for American backing, the Iraqis or the Saudis would take it. Bahrain, if it wasn't for American backing, the Saudis or the Iranians would take it. Qatar, UAE, same thing. So they're taking these states and they're attacking the infrastructure of these states and the bases of these states in a way that threatens their long-term viability, in a way that threatens the ending of their independence. And if they're part of a bigger country, be it Saudi Arabia or Iran, the Iranians then no longer have to worry about an American presence there. They just have to worry about the existing neighbor. That's the change that they're imposing. And with Jordan, I mean, the number of power plants in Jordan is small. The resources of the country are very poor. It relies on only one port, Aqaba, although obviously it trades with the Israelis and it can rely on Israeli ports. But basically, they are just going through the American presence in the region and disabling it and forcing the Americas into Israel. And if they hit critical assets in these countries, like Jordan, a huge chunk of its exports comes from phosphates. You bomb the phosphates facilities that Jordan has, you bomb the ports from which the phosphates are exported, Jordan enters into a massive financial crisis, an economic crisis that quickly becomes destabilizing. Bahrain, it relies on exporting refined products and aluminum. They've hit both of these facilities. Kuwait, exporting oil, they've hit some of the oil and they're working their way through the desalination plants. So what the Iranians are saying to the United States is, we will change the geopolitics of the region fundamentally if you don't stop attacking us. And that is on top of the Iranian threat, or of the Iranian proven capability of shutting down the Strait of Hormuz and causing a spike in oil prices, which is still very manageable. We are still dealing with $80-$90 oil, when really it would have been reasonable to expect $150 oil on the back of this crisis. And they're saying to the United States, you have no choice but to back down. Otherwise, we will dismantle the order that you have built in the region to protect Israel. That's the message. And if the war continues, and it can easily continue, given that the Americans can't, or they believe that they can't, give up the Strait of Hormuz and leave Iran as the dominant power in the region, then these things become real possibilities. The ending of these states that only exist because the British and the Americans say they should, that becomes a very real possibility. And that favors Iran over the long term, regardless of how much punishment they take in order to achieve that objective. So that's how they're playing their hand. Now, some more imagery of what's getting smashed here. This is interesting reporting here that came out in March from a site called Semaphore, which says it specializes in intelligence. And what they are saying is that the Israelis said to the United States that it's running out of interceptors. And the reason that this matters is because as the Iranians go around attacking the American bases in Bahrain and in Kuwait and the rest of the region and in Jordan, one of the big targets has been radars. When you disable the radars, you shorten the reaction time of the ultimate target, which at some point in this war is going to become Israel. When you shorten that reaction time, you then force the air defense batteries to fire more missiles at each target because they are less certain that they can intercept it. So there's a logic here. There's a logic to keeping Israel until the very end. If you go through this debasing strategy of preventing the Americans from functioning in their bases and disabling their radars, you get to a point where when you attack Israel, you have to attack Israel with fewer missiles because every missile is going to require more interceptors. Once the interceptors are depleted, you have an open field. And you can attack a lot more effectively. That's the other part of the strategy. So the Iranians, as best as I can tell, are thinking about this very systematically. Whereas when you look at the Americans and what they are doing strategically, they said that they wanted to go into this war to stop Iran from having a nuclear program and to weaken the missile and drone programs. Okay. Ignoring the regime change bit, which Trump mentioned a couple of times and then dropped as part of his speaking points. Okay. The nuclear program, not much is happening there, because it seems that the Iranians have another facility close to Tabriz, much deeper under the mountains, which hasn't been hit, which might sit at a depth of 100 meters underground, which is therefore probably immune to everything other than a tactical nuclear weapon. And it's not necessarily the case that a tactical nuclear weapon could penetrate 100 meters underground. Like, that facility is there, and we don't know how much enriched uranium is in it. It's not completed, but you can bet that the Iranians are rushing to make it functional and completed. So on the nuclear program, there's nothing. On the missile program, obviously the strikes on Iranian industry and power are going to have an impact, because you're weakening their industrial capabilities in general. If you enjoyed this preview, please consider subscribing to LotusEaters.com, starting for just £5 a month.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.